Hello, this is Lynn Stahl, and today's date is May the 5th, 2017. This recording is a summary of the talk that I gave on May 3rd, 2017 for the Central Regional Bridging Project. The research for this talk came from both Rudolf Steiner's lectures, particularly the collection of Staying Connected, and my own findings. During the talk I gave, I focused on three topics. We identified the three ways our loved ones who have died advise us, that is through imagination, inspiration, and intuition. I offered the five steps for co-creating with our loved ones who have died. And we talked about two artistic activities. One, we went through a painting exercise that supports those that are living in creating a soul mood while working with our loved ones who have died, as well as we did a Eurythmy Alleluia. Eurythmy being the form of movement that our loved ones who have died can see. Now, before I share the content of my talk with you, I would like to acknowledge Raven Garland and her colleagues on the Central Regional Council for the invitation to be a guest for their audio conference series. I am truly grateful. I'm also grateful for the Council's work on bringing the topics of dying, death, and nurturing our relationships with our loved ones who have died to the forefront of the Council's work. Thanks for everyone who were patient enough to stay on the conference call the other night in spite of the technical difficulties that actually ended up being on my end. Yikes. And thank you, yes, you, for taking the time to listen to this information now. And I'm excited to share this content of this talk with you. As I mentioned, my name is Lynn Stahl, and I've been working with Rudolf Steiner's Indications of Working with the Dead for about 20 years now. Over the years, my work with my loved ones who have died has greatly influenced my biography, including getting a Eurythmy diploma, studying color work, and in 2016, I published a book called Wonders at the Veil, Creating a Living Relationship with Loved Ones Who Have Died. After we die, we continue to work for the earth and those who are living. In fact, in 1918, Rudolf Steiner stated, "It must be said that our social, ethical, and religious lives would be endlessly enriched if the living allowed themselves to be advised by the dead." 2 years earlier, on November the 9th, 1916, Rudolf Steiner gave a lecture in Bern, Germany. This is a lecture that you can find in the Staying Connected book of Rudolf Steiner's. And in that lecture, he talked about three ways that we can receive advice, communication from our loved ones. That is through imagination, inspiration, and intuition. For each of these types of advice, I want to share with you where our loved ones are in the spiritual world when they give this advice to us, how to perceive the advice, and how to cultivate receiving this advice. Now, for this summary recording, I'm going to forego giving examples of each type of advice, but please know that you can go directly to Rudolf Steiner's lecture, or I offer examples also in my book. The first advice, or communication, works through spiritual imagination. Our loved ones who have died gain the capacity to communicate advice via imaginations through the three-day period after death when the etheric body is released. Now, while on earth, all of us have an elemental being that's closely connected to us. Once we die, we cross the threshold and we're experiencing this three-day time period of the release of the etheric body. This elemental being becomes even more intimately connected with our loved one who has died in that it absorbs, draws into itself our loved one's etheric body. And it becomes what Rudolf Steiner calls one's etheric counterpart. Each of our loved ones who have died, who have crossed the threshold, have an etheric counterpart. And it's this etheric counterpart stays with us, with the person who has died after death, the entire time in the soul spiritual worlds. Those we love who have died use this etheric counterpart to send us imaginative communications, advice. Our loved one has the advice, they give it to their etheric counterpart, and the etheric counterpart places it into our etheric body. This communication can come at any time during death, any time after death, and however, the three-day time period right after death is particularly significant in receiving messages from them. We perceive our loved one's advice, their communication, through our interest or sympathy towards another human being. This type of communication from our loved one brings about an interest in the other, creating relationships, including friendships, partnerships, opportunities for work, creative, artistic activities, etc. Now, this advice can also be totally opposite in that it creates an antipathy in our soul, in which one would have a feeling of repulsion towards another human being, therefore avoiding a relationship. Either way, interest in or an antipathy towards, a repulsion towards the other, will create a type of relationship that will affect our biography. Now, we can cultivate these types of messages, advice from our loved ones who have died, through our interest in them, including thinking about what their interests were while they were on the physical plane, wondering where they are now in the soul spiritual world, as well as our reading to them is a practice of being interested in them. Now, the second type of advice or communication that we received from our loved ones is at the inspiration level. After our loved one has released their etheric body, then they move on to the purification phase of the soul world. Now, after spending an approximately 20 to 30 years in this purification phase of the soul world, our loved one has matured enough that they can send us communications that would be called inspirations. So after this 20 or 30 years, and I think because when we read to our loved ones spiritual materials, that this can come sooner. But the important part is to know is that the loved one who has died has had to purify their and refine their own astral body, the habits that they had on earth, and that this preparation of purification prepares them to have the wisdom to impart advice that will actually affect our habits. So we perceive this communication as a feeling, and as I mentioned, it affects our habit. We typically will change a habit through this communication. Now, to cultivate a conscious inspiration from our loved ones, we need to take on the habits and character of our loved ones. So we practice doing that. Literally, what does it feel like to be in their body, to take on their habits, their character, how they thought, felt, and behaved when they were in the world? Another thing that we want to keep in mind when we're wanting to cultivate inspirations from our loved ones, actually this could be a good thing to keep in mind no matter what our practice is in receiving all three types, but we want to cultivate choosing love over anger or hate. Our loved ones have a hard time being able to communicate with us if our hearts are filled with anger or feelings of hate. I think that's pretty self-evident. Okay, now the third way of receiving communication is via intuition. This is the most intimate and the most spiritual of the three communications. We receive communications at the level of intuition from our loved one when they have purified and released their astral body into the soul world, and they've moved on to pure spirit country. Now, this can be approximately 30 to 40 years after a person has died. Now, I'm going to say this again because of oftentimes we think we lose contact with our loved one who has died. However, it can be 30 to 40 years after a person has died that they are only ripe, only ready to actually give us these spiritual messages at the level of intuition. So it's in fact only when our loved ones have reached the pure spirit country, they've left the soul world, they've released their astral body to the soul world, they purified that they can send advice, sending the living communications at this level of intuition. This advice that's purely spirit is really from spirit ego to spirit ego. At this level of communication, the advice that we receive is to change our ideas and values. And as I've experienced, really they inspire deeds of goodness. So we perceive this inspiration as thought, and it comes out of the blue, typically when your mind is kind of quiet. So it can happen when you're driving down a freeway, working in your garden, cooking, taking a walk, meditating, reading with your loved ones who have died. To cultivate messages and communications that are at the level of intuition, we want to study how your loved one changed your world for the better. What qualities do you admire about them? What values did they hold dear and live their life according to? We also, it's helpful to hold the question of how can I be in service to you? And that's a general question that you can hold at all times during your work, but particularly at this level of really being able to receive spiritual intuition. Also, the more that I work with this area, studying spiritual evolution, I believe, is significant. Where have we been spiritually from the past in relationship to the development of the human being, and where are we going? Our loved ones will influence our personal biography in a significant way. So again, just to recap, it can be done through imaginations when they influence us through having interest in the other, through inspiration when we'll get a feeling and this feeling will change a habit that we have, or we'll receive an intuition, a thought that will affect really us at this deepest level of morality, changing our values and our thinking for, I would say, spiritual evolution as a whole. The thoughts that come in are at that level. Once we receive the advice, I found that it's important to have a conscious response to the advice. So for many years while I was doing it, I would act on them, but I didn't really put the steps together that there could be a conscious way of really acknowledging a co-creative activity with my loved ones. So I want to share the five steps that I have found are a pattern in how we can co-create with our loved ones, or a template might be a better word. So, excuse me. So number one is we want to create this spiritual foundation with our loved one through a regular practice of reading, the movement that the dead can see. It can be as simple as enfolding in eurythmia, E-A-O, when you're making coffee in the morning. And we'll do an alleluia shortly. Together I'll talk about the alleluia. But just having eurythmia as a touch point during your day, I have found to be valuable. Bring your loved one in when you're participating in a spiritual activity. Now, we can identify a spiritual activity by determining whether the activity is based on the spiritual virtues of truth, beauty, and goodness. Now, Rudolf Steiner has an excellent lecture that is available through Rudolf Steiner Archives. You can just type in truth, beauty, and goodness. It will come up. If you've already read it, I highly recommend reading it again and offering it to your loved ones who have died. And have these three virtues be somewhat of a guidepost for your creative activities with your loved one. So in just briefly, truth is will remind us of our spiritual heritage. Beauty radiates spirit, and goodness creates a spiritual substance for the future. In addition to the spiritual virtues, I always bring in the Christ, my angels, my loved ones' angels, so you're feeling fully supported in your activity and you're on the right path of choosing one. Now, step number two is learn how to effectively communicate with our loved ones, with your loved one. So in addition to receiving the communications of advice through interest, feeling, and thoughts, this imaginative inspiration and intuition, Rudolf Steiner, as well as myself, in my book, Rudolf Steiner's Lectures, we talk about different communications from our loved ones and what they can look like, from dreams, coming out of sleep, reversals, when they might come from a child or another person. In addition to how we receive messages, you also want to learn how to give messages, communications to your loved one who has died. So having a basic understanding of how we communicate and seeing a pattern, languaging that you and your loved ones are developing is helpful. Know that that language can change as your loved one goes through the seven regions of the soul world, this purification phases, as well as what I call the seven refinement stages of the spiritual world. Number three, the third step, is to cultivate and develop a greater awareness of what's going on in your life. Let's face it, we're all really super busy. And if we can take moments during our day to really sense how we feel when we enter a room, how we feel when we meet somebody, and just even creating one moment, you know, a day and adding to that moment a sense of awareness can help this process of identifying when we receive advice from our loved ones. Of course, the practice of our daily review at the end of the day supports us being aware. We can look at our day and notice, did I meet somebody new today? Did I feel an interest toward them or an antipathy? Did I receive a feeling that affected a habit? Did you speak up when you normally would be quiet? Did you change your mind about a position that you held with a colleague, family member, or friend? What thoughts came to you out of the blue that is one of high ideal, that integrating the thought leads to an act of goodness or change in your own moral ideals and values? Now, reading to them, during this time that you read to them, notice, does your relationship during the time you're together change at all? Do you feel like they're requesting something from you? Can you sense that they're taking the spiritual scientific information that you're giving them, and that they oftentimes will return it to us via an imagination, inspiration, or intuition? Or maybe they'll also give it to another human being. But see if you can sense this give and take that is available to us from them. Step four, we acknowledge the co-creative message and we act on it. So it's helpful to have a journal that you can start to write down these messages. Hold the message and activity that they're suggesting up to the standards of the virtues of truth, beauty, and goodness. Bring in the Christ, your angels, and your loved ones, and say yes through freedom and love. The quote by Albert Steffen is perfect for this work, and what he says is, human freedom may choose whether or not to seek and maintain a conscious relationship with the dead, Nothing, either from within or from without, compels it. It's a deed of purest love. So we want to complete the task or the co-creation with a joy-filled heart. Now the fifth step is to be grateful. Once we've completed the task, to really look back on it. This work is very humbling. Very few people know that we can intentionally lift the veil between us and our loved one. I know I'm so grateful for Rudolf Steiner for showing us how we can do this, as well as my loved ones who have died, who actively want to work with me. I allow myself also a moment to say well done for my own part in this whole dance and relationship. So just to review, the five steps for co-creating with our loved one is to create a spiritual foundation, learn the basics of communication, improve and develop and cultivate an awareness during the day and through our daily review. Acknowledge, determine the quality of activity, and say yes. And then the fifth step being to be grateful. Now, the next thing that we did on the conference call was we had a color activity. When we think of the deceased, we can help them by visualizing colors, especially the violet, the color that is so intimately connected with everything that is holy, with the depth. Colors are soul substance, and that is something that the dead need. Therefore, one has to learn to think in colors without words. That quote is by Leon-Claude Dubois. Leon-Claude Dubois created the painting technique of light, darkness, and color in painting therapy. Leon worked directly with Itta Vagman, Rudolf Steiner's personal physician, in a medical clinic to evaluate how research affected the human being, particularly their thinking, feeling, and willing, its relationship to physiology. So we've got light and darkness. They're the spiritual forces. When the two interact, color is created, which is a soul force. If we have too much light, we can be blinded by the light. If it's too dark, we can't see. So we need some combination of the two to be able to see color. Now, one could participate in a purely imaginative way or actually do the color activity that I offer. Either way, I've put on my website the five color images that we played with. That is carmine red, cobalt blue, a light and dark violet, and viridian green. And then also a final painting activity of combining the five colors and the essential spiritual quality along with the basic movements of each of the colors. So we did, I spoke to each of the individual five colors, and I recommend that you just play with the actual individual color on one sheet of paper. Just play with that so you can get a sense for that individuality of that color. Behind each color is an angel, so you can also hold that as a thought. And let's see. Now, from the images that I put on my website, I don't know where they'll be. They could be also on the Regional Council's website, but I'm just, for this recording, I'm going to make sure that you know you can at least go to my website if you need them. And my website is lynnstull.com. That's LynnStull.com. Once you get to my homepage, click on the resources tab, that page, and then that will take you to the resources page that will have images of these five colors and the color exercise. Additionally, when I talk about the eurythmy in a second, I also offer the eurythmy gestures for the word alleluia in case you would like those as a prompt. All right, so continuing with the color exercise, You can do the color exercise, or you can offer this purely as an imaginative color exercise where you don't color at all in the physical world. You do it all, by this way. These are the steps. So you would picture the color, infuse the image of the color with the spiritual essence, see the movement of the color, see the color as veils, recognize there's a lawfulness and objectiveness of the color itself, and then seeing yourself give the color to your loved one who has died and them receiving it. Okay, so that's the process that you would do for the individual, working on each of the individual colors, as well as when you would combine all of the five colors in the placement that I show you and indicate on the painting image that's on my website. All right, so if you could follow that one, high fiver, good job. All right, now before we close out, I want to also mention about Eurythmy, because we did a Eurythmy Alleluia on the call together. As I mentioned at the beginning and probably one other time, Eurythmy is the movement form, a form of movement that our loved ones can see. The reason why is that Eurythmy is working with the creative forces of the planets and the zodiac, and this is where our loved ones are living. So Eurythmy is very familiar to them. They can see it just like we can see letters of alphabet on a page when we read a book. They can see these letters, the vowels and the consonants that are connected with the planets and the zodiac. They can read them like we can read a book. How cool is that? Very cool. All right. Now, the Eurythmy Alleluia was the first word that Rudolf Steiner gave to the Eurythmus, and it's such a powerful word. And after he gave it to the Eurythmus, Rudolf Steiner added that when we do this Eurythmy Alleluia, it means, I cleanse myself from all that hinders me from beholding the highest. So doing the Eurythmy Alleluia and then bringing it into your heart, and you can even say these words out loud, I cleanse myself from all that hinders me from beholding the highest. I'm going to say that one more time. So I cleanse myself from all that hinders me from beholding the highest. Beautiful. All right. So on that note, I'm going to close out this recording. Again, I'm thankful for your interest in your work. Feel free to reach out to me at any time. I would love to hear from you. My email is Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at lynnstull.com, L-Y-N-N. STULL.com. And if you have any questions, you can also email me, or if you're doing the work and you feel that you're getting communications, I love to hear that information. So please feel free to reach out. Blessings, and thanks so much.